says here that Tinderbot is the PG version of some very quote unquote personal robotic devices.
All right.
But woo! But doesn't go on to say.
Well, I think we can infer from that. But the thing is.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
All right, so Katie's going to kick off with some advice on advice.
Yes.
Advice on advice is a segment where we find advice on the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And we want to improve upon it by giving our advice, hence, advice on advice.
Right. Okay. Dear Prudence.
Okay, a classic.
Yes. I'm a 32-year-old good-looking male.
Are you now?
In a stable, monogamous relationship of a year with a woman I hope to marry one day.
Okay.
A few months ago, she moved to another city for work, a situation that will last for about a year.
Yeah.
All right. Mm. Our sex life is amazing when we're together. And
it's kind of hard when we're not. It's just okay.
And I do not usually feel tempted to flirt with other women. Mm. However. 3 weeks ago, I went on a business trip to a country where prostitution is ubiquitous.
Okay.
I paid.
Let me just stop and say there's no place on earth. You could be in the middle of the Arctic.
Yeah.
And you could find a prostitute.
Yeah.
Like, if you're looking for prostitution.
You can get a prostitute wherever you are.
I say prostitution is ubiquitous where people are found.
Right. I paid for sex with a professional sex worker.
Okay.
It was great fun, much like a good back massage or other spa service.
It should be. She's a professional.
Yeah. I do not plan to look for an escort here at home. As a matter of principle, I hope I will not do this again.
Okay. So this is his first time with a prostitute. Okay.
Still.
An escort.
Still, I struggle to think of transactional sex as a big deal if it happens exceedingly rarely.
Mm-hmm. Well, really? I don't. It's okay that I torture because I only do it like once a year.
Yeah, right.
It's fine.
I should mention I was unfaithful in past relationships when I was much younger and inexperierced.
Okay.
Then for
but now I know what I'm doing.
Now, yeah, right.
I'm a professional.
And I'm a little older.
Philanderer.
Then for several years, I've had only casual relationships and feel so much happier committing to my girlfriend, knowing that I have seen what's out there.
Okay.
Should I feel bad about what I did? Should I tell my girlfriend? And why? Would you advise her to leave me? Signed, it's not cheating if you paid for it.
Really? It's not cheating if you paid for it?
Oh,
no.
Oh, all these points he's trying to bring up.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like he knows that what he's doing within the... Because I'm not making any judgments, mm-hmm. like, outside of the relationship. Mm-hmm. Within the relationship, it sounds like he knows that his partner would not really appreciate
it. Because it's so bad. You could do whatever you want to do as long as your partner is being honest with your partner.
Yeah, you're being honest with it.
And
I hope he was safe.
Yeah.
He was. He said it was a professional, so I'm sure that she was safe.
Yeah, that she was.
Yeah.
She took care of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's whatever you want to do as long as your partner is agreeing to it and then you're not lying.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah, the problem is the deception.
Yeah. Okay.
Because maybe she doesn't care.
Maybe she's like, good, go
ahead. Maybe she's
something.
Doing it, yeah. Maybe she's like, I'm away from you. This is totally fine. I understand that you have needs. We have the kind of relationship that can accommodate this. Mm-hmm. Or she might be like, no, I'm not the kind of person that's okay having my partner be with someone else.
Right. Okay, so the answer is, dear, it's not.
But it's not cheating if you paid for it.
So she shortened it. Dear, it's not. Your take is that what you paid for was simply a massage focused on a particular area.
Really? Okay.
Nice try. But surely you know that in human geography, not all areas are created equal.
True, yeah.
This is true.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Right.
It's one thing if you're going to get, because I get massage too, and boy, do I get a lot of joy out of it. But at no point
is it
a sexual experience.
It's not a sexual experience, no. And while a massage should make a client happy, that's different from paying for a happy ending.
Mm-hmm. he didn't get a massage.
She must have. Just love that.
She just threw back into the Chablis.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to a party over the holidays and someone busted out some Riuniti and I didn't have time to have some because I wanted to have it on ice.
Oh, God.
So nice. Riuniti.
Riuniti on ice. So nice.
Yeah.
You hesitate to run this by your future fiancé because you know that by having sex with someone outside a monogamous relationship is cheating, whether...
Oh, wait, he said monogamous.
Yes.
So...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. whether you or your temporary new partner gives you a fake name and takes cash.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah.
So I guess I didn't think about this, but yeah, it shouldn't really even matter if the woman was a prostitute or not. It's mm-hmm. just, he's supposed to be in this monogamous yeah. relationship.
Right.
And so that means to me that you're not supposed to be screwing other people.
Yes. Right. If you're having a monogamous yeah. relationship, that's what
you're
it means,
exclusive.
Right?
Yeah.
You're exclusive. Yeah. I'm not an economist, so I'm still trying to
really?
Parse your assertion that if you pay for something, the act of the exchange of exchanging money for services renders the nature of the service meaningless.
True. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. still, yeah, it's still sex.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
You are advancing the argument that since there was no emotional connection with the sex worker, your sex didn't count.
Yeah. Why is that?
Nice? Right. Right. It's like, I paid for it, so it doesn't count.
You're like, I didn't get off, so whatever.
Like, yeah. Yet you know that there's a reason you're not telling your girlfriend all the details about the fabulous time you had while you were away on business.
Right.
You say you hope you won't do it again. I say, don't do it again. If you stick with the resolution, I promise I won't advise her to leave you.
This is a tough one. So we've had, these are hard because we've had this before of like people make mistakes.
Yeah.
This doesn't sound like a mistake, though.
It doesn't. He's trying to justify it because yeah. he wants to do it again.
And it might be okay with his partner, but it's not okay to lie
yeah.
to the partner. I think he has to say something about it. I think she should know.
She should know, definitely.
Maybe she's not going to care.
Well, the thing is, they're already in this relationship where they're exclusive with each other.
Yeah,
so that means that they both agreed to be in this.
But he's got to find out.
Yeah.
He's got to say something. Like, he can't, you know, he's stepped outside of what I think they have agreed on
yeah.
as what is a monogamous relationship. But what I'm saying is there's a chance that they could still reconcile, mm-hmm. and it might be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily mean it's the end of their relationship, but you do have to have communication.
Yeah, but the thing is that he is really stacking this whole thing. He's
yeah.
just like...
He knows he's wrong.
I mean, yeah. You
like,
know,
100%.
I'm on a business trip. The prostitution is it's just flowing.
I'm good looking.
And it
she's
was,
away.
She was away. It was just like a spa service.
Yeah. It was very, very simple and easy.
I don't plan on doing it again, but if I did,
I didn't fall in love with the sex worker. Most people don't. It's a job.
I've been faithful in the past, so I know what that feels like.
It seems like he's just doing what he would normally do, but paying for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
She might be upset. So I can see some women being upset that he went to a prostitute. Mm-hmm. It's one thing if you're out, you know, things happen. But this is like, he sought this out.
Yeah.
It was like his plan to yeah. go out and do this. Do you know what I'm saying?
And he's trying to get somebody else to put a stamp of approval
yeah.
on it without
like
him telling his... If he thinks this is so... That it was fine, which obviously he kind of thinks it does. He wants somebody else to say
he
it's
wants
okay.
He wants someone to coast on it. But
right.
it's, what I'm saying, it's not like he was at the office party, got drunk, put his Johnson on the copier, fooled around with the secretary.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, that's not what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
No. He's cheated.
Yeah. And he knows
for sure.
it.
And he knows it.
And Prudence knows it, too.
Mm-hmm.
I like this. Actually, advice is pretty good.
Yeah. But she's giving him a chance. Like, hey, if you don't do it again, then I won't advise. It's like, oh, no, he
yeah.
needs to go and tell
he
her.
He needs to go and tell her for many reasons.
Yeah.
Because why would you, I mean, as the person who, it's awful to have a secret like that
mm-hmm.
and then continue a relationship. Even if it's not a romantic relationship, any kind of relationship that you have with someone, if you're like holding something back, it's hard for the person who's
holding it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, because you're making this weird reality.
Yeah.
You're trying to justify this reality and you know it's not right.
You know it's not right. You don't feel
living,
it's right.
And you're living this lie, you're lying to yourself and you're
yeah.
making this weird.
I would say just get it out in the open, you know. She might not care. If she does care, then you're going to have to deal with that. You should
yeah.
have thought about that.
Yeah.
Beforehand.
Yeah.
Hey, not bad.
But it's not a spa service.
No, it's not a spa service at all. And don't confuse it with that. That's a
yeah.
completely different thing. I'm getting the facial. You know? All right, so I have something from Business Insider. Not a spa
yeah,
service.
Don't confuse the facial for sure.
Yeah. Do not. Seven reasons.
Good day.
Yeah, good day.
I said good day.
Seven reasons why your work meetings are a waste of time and how to fix them. So these things are funny to me because now we are at the age or the point in our careers where we've worked in lots of different office environments.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of this is written for people who are just coming in to the workforce. It says team meetings.
Team
meetings, they call them now,
okay.
can be massive wastes of time.
Yes.
Instead of catching up, instead of taking a few moments to catch up and develop ideas, you and your colleagues proceed to either doze off or check email. Both I do. mm-hmm. as someone drones on. The good news, there are a few small fixes you can make to transform the dreaded meetings. So this is a woman. Her name is Jessica Price Jones, CEO of something called the Eye Opener Institute, which sadly is not about booze. In my mind, an eye opener
is a total shot of whiskey.
Yes, it's a nice shot.
Yeah.
From a friend. She has a book she's written called Running Great Meetings and Workshops for Dummies. I didn't know that series was still around.
For dummies, everything.
Yeah, for dummies. Yeah. So she's worked at American Express and Coca-Cola, and she's found reasons why most meetings are wastes of time. So this is a woman who's done a lot of corporate jobs and been like, I'm not doing this. I'm going to write a book.
I like to clap at the end of my meetings that I put together.
Is it the slow clap?
No. I'm like, good job, everybody. And then, but it's really me because I did the talking.
Do you start walking off while you're doing it? Good job. And for you, like clap at the audience. So here are the problems why meetings are a waste of time. I hate meetings.
Yeah.
When I used to work at a company, they told me I gave great meetings. My meetings were always under 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That would start by saying, is there anything we'd like to add to the agenda? I went through the agenda, and I closed that meeting. I was like, any questions, click.
Keep them to yourself.
Yeah. I was like, if you have any questions, email each other.
Yeah.
Because I'm clear. So number one, it says, these meetings have no purpose or structure. If your meetings are stretching on, it's because they lack a purpose. Before the meeting begins, tell your team what the objective of the meeting is. Are people just gathering people in random conference rooms and just making them wait?
Yeah.
Is that how it happens?
No, get in there.
There's a whiteboard, like you're just sitting there. What's going to happen? We don't know.
No. You usually know why you're in there.
You should know why you're there. It says Price
Jones. I like being called into meetings when I'm not a part of it, and then they realize that I should be.
They're like, who's this?
And then they're like, somebody comes out, and they're like, they want you in the meeting room. There's a meeting going on. I'm like walking. I don't know what's happening. And you gotta quickly.
Now we can start.
And then everybody looks at you like, what do you think of this point? I'm like, I don't even know the context, but fine. But yes.
Is that coffee? So it says Price Jones recommends saving the quote unquote meat of the meeting for the middle. Where else would the meat be? Wrapped around the bun? What is she talking about? Like the meat of anything is in the middle.
Of course.
You can't serve the meat. You can't do the meat up top. It's impossible.
What was our band name again? Meat?
Was it Meat Demand?
Yeah.
Was that right?
No.
Beef Demand.
Beef Demand.
So you save the beef of the meeting for the middle.
Okay.
After everyone is focused on the task, but before their minds start drifting, what's going on? I'm just imagining people sitting in a room with their eyes darting around.
No, drifting is going up to the ceiling.
I don't pay. I've perfected the art of looking like I'm paying attention when I'm not.
Okay.
I'm actually thinking about Fletch 2 or whatever. So number two, the moderator is stretched too thin. I don't know who the moderator is.
Stretched too thin.
Is that the person running the meeting?
Yeah.
Okay. Stretched too thin. You can't properly manage the meeting if you're trying to do everything at once. What's happening in these meetings?
No, because they're running the slideshow. They're
serving
the coffee. They got people on speaker that they're trying to conference in. Yeah.
I think I was good at running meetings because I was an elementary school teacher. And if you can get 30 people who are age 4 to do something, you can run a corporate meeting. So Price suggests having a wingman, which I think is an office wallop, who is responsible for little things like bringing in refreshments, making sure the projector is working, and ensuring the team sticks to the agenda. I hope that person has a stick and is like waving it at people on the side. And also, the wingman is supposed to let you know if you're falling behind schedule.
Okay.
So like you're in the middle of your speech, you're like, I don't mean to be rude, but you got 10 minutes to wrap it up. Like a wingman.
I once brought somebody into a meeting who wasn't even supposed to be there just
as backup?
Yeah, just to sit there. And then I'd go, oh, what was the thing I wanted to talk about?
Did they have a club and were they hitting it into their hand?
Yeah.
Like, is everyone scared at your meeting? They're like, don't look directly at her.
Yeah.
But don't not look at her.
Got a guy with like lots of chains on.
Yes. He's wearing a mask and a ball gag. No reason.
Yeah.
Not even going to mention it. Just have him there next to you.
Yeah.
He's here for the projector. He's wearing gloves. Don't worry about it. The gloves have studs on them. Don't worry about it.
Don't ask questions. Yeah. This is a meeting that I'm running.
Yeah, You saw the agenda. Questions are not even on here.
Yeah.
I know what I'm saying. The third is the moderator isn't the best person to run all parts of the meeting. If you know that a particular team member knows more than a topic of discussion than you do, let them do it. These are like are people just going into meetings and they're just nuts?
Yeah.
Like, the thing, people are running all over the place. There's a couple people from marketing. They don't know why they're there. A couple people from accounts. They don't know why they're there. Like, what's so difficult?
Yeah.
And first of all, I said 7 reasons why the meetings are a waste of time, and they only give 3. They couldn't even do that right. You serious? It's 7 reasons why your meetings are a waste of time. 3 reasons. All right, what do you have?
I have a little news about Nick Cage.
Oh, he's still around.
He's still around, and every so often we have our Nick Cage theorist.
Yeah, we have to come him back in.
Yeah, but since we have given ample time to Nick, we just have to give him a little bit more.
Yeah.
So,
because he's not getting enough screen time, so we thought we'd do him a solid.
So Nick Cage bought a dinosaur skull.
What is wrong
with him? For $276,000.
Why?
He bought it at an auction in 2007.
Okay.
Received a certificate of authenticity.
Oh, okay. I thought it was another one. Okay. He got a certificate of authenticity. Yeah.
Yeah. So he did that and...
Was it from Mongolia or something?
It was from Mongolia.
Like that? Okay.
And then they realized that it was stolen. And it was really the property of Mongolia, who never wanted to put it up on auction. So
it's a huge problem in Mongolia. Like, seriously, that's a big problem, that people go there and they unearth things that are the you know, if you find it there, it's their property.
Yeah. So in 2014, the Department of Homeland Security contacted Nick Cage to inform him that years-long
investigation. That's what they're doing now? That's what the Department of Homeland Security is doing.
I
feel safer.
It was illegally smuggled in from Mongolia.
He knew that already.
Yeah. He knows. He's not stupid.
It's like when you buy an Armani suit on 42nd Street on the corner, and you're talking about, I didn't know it was hot. It was out the back of a truck.
You know, and who else was up for it and was bidding on it, too?
Billy Zane?
Leonardo DiCaprio. They both were bidding on this, but it went to Nick Cage.
Wow. So now what? Who got the money?
No charges were filed against him. He was just like, I want it.
I didn't know.
No.
Who knew?
Yeah. And so he returned it, and it was a Tarbosaurus.
I love dinosaur bones.
It disappeared 65 million years ago.
It disappeared.
Yeah.
It makes it sound like, where'd it go?
Well, they found the skull.
It showed up in Nicolas Cage's house 65 million years later, like, boom.
Could you imagine? Isn't that the strangest thing to think about it that way?
I love dinosaur bones. Something died 65 million years ago. I've bought some.
And Nick Cage is holding, cradling it in
his
hands.
Some fossils that are that old in my house right now. Like small ones. Obviously, I didn't pay $260,000 for them. I didn't pay $260,000. They're just like trilobites, which are quite, you know, common.
Yeah.
But it's amazing to me to look at something. It's in my kitchen.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, 65 million years old or more. And it's fascinating.
Think of the changes in the past 20 years.
I wish they could see it. I always wish, because I don't believe in any kind of like a reincarnation or afterlife, but I always wish that certain people could see what has happened. For example, like Caesar. Like, I wonder if Caesar would come back, go to Las Vegas, and be like, yeah, boy. When he saw the Caesar's Palace, like the casinos, he'd be like, yes.
I always think of that about Laura Ingalls.
Why? Because of the show?
Yeah, because I think, you know, the way that she lived. I was always fascinated with the Little House on the Prairie.
I like Little House on the Prairie.
I loved the books.
Yeah, I had the books.
The series, and I thought that was a really, that's how people lived. And for her to see how we live now, would be stunned.
And that we still read her books.
Yeah.
Would be interesting, too. Yeah, mine were a bit more, Mike, I just wanted to see the people who were like megalomaniacs. You know, someone like Genghis Khan to come back and be like, I'm in front of a restaurant called Mongolian Grill. Like, this is what happened to me? I was the ruler of, like, half the world. I was fierce. An eatery? Look what Caesar, you know, like.
It's like, what percentage of people are related to Genghis Khan?
Like, most.
Yeah, because he was, the big rapist.
Or like, you know, Vlad Tempest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're like, really? Like, I got, you know, people who probably thought they wouldn't live on, you know, in that way, who have actually still lived on.
Gosh, maybe, do you think that you'll live on in some way?
No. No. I don't want to live on in any way. No way.
You just want to kind of duck out?
No. Yeah, I just want to dip out. Dinosaur style. Boom. Jaquetta Sotomayor disappeared 65 million years ago. Shows up in Nicolas Cage's apartment. 65 million years later.
Yeah, right? I got Jaquetta's skull.
Yes.
Get it back. It belongs to New York.
I want to be used in a Shakespeare production as the Alas Poor York skull. That's what I want.
Now, who did that? Del Close.
Really?
Yeah.
His skull's being used? That's awesome.
By a theater in Chicago. Yeah. He supposedly. And people say, oh, he didn't really do it, but they did.
Why wouldn't he do it?
I don't know.
Speaking of parts being used, I'm going to go on to penis news.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is a Dick Updates, the member on the move, scrolling stories. This is where we report on penises.
Yeah, Jaquetta brings in a penis story.
Yeah, a penis story. So this is, because we were talking about, you know, people using your parts once you're not here anymore. So up earlier this month, Johns Hopkins University from Maryland announced plans for America's first wave of penis transplants. So we're going to, they're going to try to do 60 of them.
I just imagine like a sea cresting. Yes. With a wave of penises.
Wait, yeah. This is going to be 60 experimental surgeries in a wave of, you know, whatever it is.
Do you think a guy would lop off his own penis to get a bigger one in this wave?
Yes, if they could. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. I don't think there... I think there are very few things that a man wouldn't do to get a huger Johnson.
Okay.
But that's just my thing. Guys, if you think I'm wrong, it's... And I'm not saying it's a negative
thing. Send us an email. Like, yeah, heyyouknowit@gmail.com.
Yeah, would you be... Would you remove your penis if you knew that you could get a bigger one?
Yeah.
And there would be no complications. Like, it's going to stay on. It's not going to be like, Monday it's here, Thursday it's on the floor. So, if they do the 60 experimental surgeries and they go well, it could become like a medical norm. But they're going to be needing people to donate the penises. So, the question is, for organ donors, will people consent to also donate a penis? I'm an organ donor. I hadn't thought about this. Apparently, it's a very sensitive issue when it's not just a normal organs and tissue.
Okay.
So people feel really weird about having their hands donated or a penis donated or their face donated. I'm saying take it. I don't need it. Like,
but,
I'm
dead. Do you want an open casket wake?
No, I want to be burnt up and sprinkled into something and that no one's going to know. You're going to be eating me and you won't have any idea.
Oh, wow.
As you leave the funeral, you're going to be like, son of a bitch. That's what was in that sandwich?
That buffet.
Yes. So, you know, like, it tastes a little maudlin. That was me. So the problem is like people, so when you donate your face, they give you they give you a face mask for burial. That looks very realistic if you're doing open casket. Is that weird?
Weird. I can't imagine what a face mask would be looking like.
Open casket is a weird... Like, I know a lot of people do. It's a weird thing for me. I know it helps people with closure, but, like, I don't personally, I don't want that for myself.
I want it because I want people... Because there's a kneeler right by the casket, and people have to kneel and, like, take a moment to pray or just to say goodbye.
If you go before I do, I'm drawing a mustache on you. They're like, what's Jaquetta doing up there with an eyebrow pencil? Don't worry about paying respects. I'm going to draw a curly
Andouar
mustache.
Like a villain mustache on me. Oh, good. Like, just what I want.
I can't pay the rent.
Oh, God. I will then have
can I get
like
some eyebrows?
A spring under my hand. I'll whap you.
I feel like there's a fight going on.
That's what I'm going to have.
Like a trick arm.
Yeah,
trick when people arm. Come by to kneel, everyone gets smacked in the face. Oh my God, that's awesome.
Yes.
I want that.
I'm going to do that with
it. Now I don't want to be cremated because I think there could be some comedy out of it.
And different parts of the kneeler when you press down with your knees because it's, you know, it's a fairly each like a 2-inch section will detonate something else for the body.
How about this? I want to have somebody else in the coffin and maybe propped up on a bench somewhere nearby and just, you know,
watching,
just be weird.
Yeah.
When people go up, they'd be like, this isn't her. And there'll be a little note that says, look to your left. It'll be me in the pew. That's messed up. I like it. I'm totally drawing a mustache.
Okay.
So anyway.
I can't stop you.
You can't. If you donate your penis, they will provide some kind of a fake armature for the body to have. So the clothing lays right. I'm sorry. I've seen many an open casket situation. I don't look at the Johnson to see
either.
If it looks right.
No. That Johnson is laying all wrong.
That's not how I remember Fred. He was much more robust, shall we say. Than what I'm seeing here today. So it says, penises are the seat of manhood, but not really useful on a corpse.
I'd say so.
While some men might be uncomfortable about cruising into the afterlife without the tools for copulation, others might find it life-affirming to know that their Johnson is out there getting in action long after they are gone.
What if you were with a man who received
a dead man's penis?
What would you think, honestly?
I mean, how would you know? Like, is it courtesy of, you know, and there's like a bench commemorating someone in the park?
No, what, if the guy told you that, by the way, my penis belongs to somebody else.
Is it a famous person?
No, we don't know. Just it's a dead, It was a donated penis. Would you be like, wait a minute?
No, I don't
Would
care.
You have questions?
I'd have questions, but I wouldn't be like, you got to get out of here. Suit up, go. Like, get the step in.
Would you?
I don't think I would do anything.
What really?
Look, we're probably both imagining, like, Frankenpenis. Is that what you're saying? Like, it's stitched up horribly.
It's stitched up.
One ball is from a black guy. The other one's from an Asian guy. The tip is from a white guy. Like, it's just, like, it's a mess. It's a quilt, basically. It's like a horrible patchwork quilt. I don't think that's what it is. Like, I think they have to really, right, from what I understand from the little bit of research I did, they have to really match it up.
Yeah.
So that the body doesn't reject the penis.
But what about your body rejecting the penis? Would
I don't
you
know.
Reject it? Would your whole body
My
reject
whole,
it?
I don't think so. I don't, you know, maybe I would just say, I don't want to know where this came from. I don't know where this came from. I don't know.
See, you don't want to know.
I don't want to know.
You know, I wouldn't want to know, but you know, once I...
Who's going to say, like, I mean, what if it's a historic penis?
Think about your whole body.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, how would it come
now,
up? Conversation, you know, like at what point I would like it, is the future for young women going to be like original penis only, like in their dating profile?
Yeah, right.
Like no, I think you know, no Frankendicks. The cool thing about all of this stuff is that the majority of the people who need this, and this is why I think it's a really good idea, are soldiers. People who have been injured in battle are the going to be the main recipients of the...
So then it's your duty to do it for your country.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm hoping in that way... And they were saying that if you decide to donate your penis, you can't be like a bigot about it. You can't... The example they said that I only want my organ to be transplanted on someone who's a Catholic. You can't
say
that.
You can't say that. Okay.
You know, you can't say that at all. So if you're giving it up, you have to give it up freely.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're going to try to match it by color and size. Like, you know, you can't have like...
So then the guy who lops off his own small penis... penis in mm-hmm. hopes for a larger one.
No.
They're going to be like, well, you had a small one, so you're
That's what you get again.
One.
Yeah. It's not an upgrade situation. Yeah. You don't come in here.
Do you know? Think that guys would donate their penis if it's small?
I don't think they're going to say it's small. I think every guy is going to put on his organ donor card, it's massive. And then when they get to it later, they're going to be like, oh, another one of these. Look, maybe if we put a couple together, we can help this guy out. This guy was in the war, for Christ's sake. We can't do this to him. He suffered enough.
Ew.
We're bringing him in here with what looks like a toe. You know? The small toe at that. Anyway, so yeah, so the organ... I'm a huge fan of organ donating. I have made everyone in my life know that I want every part of me used.
Okay.
Just like the Native Americans with the buffalo.
I do too. And somebody then told me... Someone then told me that they're not going to save you as readily
that's
in
bullshit.
The hospital.
That's really... Because that's what hospitals really care about. They have time to be like, she's an organ donor. That's ridiculous. I'm pro-organ donor. If I had a penis, I would definitely donate it. It's interesting to me because they've worked so hard on this penis stuff. What about vaginas?
Right.
I would donate my vagina and or womb to someone. If something happened to me and somebody needed it, it's like, go for it.
Right.
Well, a lot of good it's done me. Good luck. Like, mine comes with a note. Good luck.
Yeah.
Enjoy. Anyway, that's my penis news.
That's very nice.
All right, what do you have?
Talking about friendships and social media.
Okay, still around on social media.
Social media gets in the way of friendships. That's what they're saying nowadays.
Of starting them or of keeping their friendship?
Well, social networking has really changed the way we keep in touch and communicate with our friends, but not all of it is positive.
Mm-hmm.
We can get burned out on friends. Become tired of hearing about their bad and good days and fail to get the FaceTime that's required to keep a friendship strong. It's
okay.
True.
Yeah, that's true.
That's one thing that people forget. They think that they can just, like, you know, link up with people.
Yeah.
And then if you don't spend enough FaceTime with them, then you really are not.
Well, I think people are, like, I'm not on Facebook anymore, and I think I'm glad that I'm not on it, but a lot of people are using it as, like, a shortcut.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't have time to really catch up with you, but, like, here's a status.
Yeah.
For, like, everybody.
Yeah.
To see. That's it.
Yeah, well, I think it's good because it puts you in touch with people that you know, you're not going to see
but that's,
regularly.
But it should be the jumping, you know, like, you can't just do that. Though.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel
yeah.
like you're right. That's the people are just doing that.
Okay,
they're like, I can manage all my friendships this way. Like, I can say I had a shitty day to 40 people.
Yeah.
And not have to then talk to those four people who are really good friends of mine and waste, quote unquote, waste my time, like, filling them in.
Right. Yeah, it's better for reunions. When you go to a reunion, you're like, oh, I saw all your pictures.
Yeah. No need to show them to me now.
Yeah. Okay, so number one, Facebook and Twitter provide us with too many updates from friends. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't need to hear everything. I know more about people that I never see.
Yes.
I'm like, oh,
and God. I don't need to see anybody's feet.
And their cats.
Yes,
or their older cats. Like, some cats, like, you know, are fine.
Fine. But it's like 20% cats and like 10% feet.
There are more pictures of cats in the world than there are people.
Well, I think that they're, I have a theory that cats might be God. And they've won. Because look how they roll.
Yeah.
We just let them do whatever. What other animal gets to live like that?
Yeah.
We're going to Costa Rica for vacation, and there's some animal in Costa Rica. It's kind of cat-like, and they've started, it's being poached as a pet. There are still lots of them in the wild.
Are they the ones that adults look like kittens?
I'm not exactly sure. It's similar to that.
Yeah.
But it's like, so they're being poached and brought into people's homes, because apparently they're these amazing pets. They're like rivaling the cats. Mm-hmm. I can see thousands of years from now, those things are sitting pretty. People are buying them collars. Mm-hmm. They've forgotten how to forage for food for themselves, and they don't care.
Yeah.
And then a ship comes, picks them all up, and they go back to whatever planet they came from. it's fascinating to me that some animals have found a way to, like, not do shit and just live in my apartment.
Yeah, isn't it? It's like, well, how did you get here?
They haven't done anything.
Yeah.
I have friends who, they're talking on the phone with me, and then they're yelling at their cat. And I'm like, you're yelling at your cat all the time. Why can't you get rid of it? I can't. I can't, you know what I mean? The cat has a hold on them.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, you can once you have one.
Yeah.
And somebody who has a cat, they feel bad when they go on business trips.
Yep.
They're like, she's all alone.
But guess who doesn't greet you when you come home?
Yeah.
The cat.
Yeah.
I had a cat. I come home, the cat's like, fuck off. I mean, it's like two rooms away.
I'm in a sunny window.
Yeah. And where's my food?
Yeah. So here we go. Back to friends.
Oh, yeah.
Game requests. Games are fun and people play them online, but those game requests are terrible.
When I was on Facebook, there were still people trying to get me to farm something.
Yeah.
And I never understood what it was, but I was like, no, bitch.
I can't believe that I know how many points they scored on their farm game. I'm like, why do I want to know this?
Farmville or something like that. Something. Have you ever... people like the words with friends. I heard that's kind of fun. Like a Scrabble kind of thing.
Yeah.
But like, aside from that, no, I don't play any of those.
No. But why do I know your game score?
And why is it...
The person from high school that you don't talk to. I know what you can rack up in Candy Crush.
Yes.
Welcome. How do I know? That's a useless piece of information.
Yeah.
Okay. So now when you're in person, you have less to say to them in person.
That could be a good thing.
Yeah.
You just kind of mill around. Well, that was fun.
All right. Yeah. Fine.
Thanks.
I went to the beach, saw your pictures.
Yes, that's how it is. Yeah, I remember years ago, a woman who I had seen a couple times and I thought we could be friends. I was like, oh, hey, how's it going? Like, you know, do an exchange number. She's like, I'm on Facebook. I was like, yeah, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't want to talk to me, that's fine.
All right.
Yeah, whatever.
Sure.
Yeah, everyone's on Facebook.
Facebook also gives you a false sense of what's going on in your friend's life.
Yes, because people omit all kinds of stuff.
Okay, you only have certain things that you post. I have certain things I post.
I only go to the beach.
Yeah.
I only posted vacation stuff because I just want to show people like pictures and look at other people's pictures and then really...
Then you gain the rep that you're always on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're out at a party.
You're a drunk. If you're only putting pictures of
a party or the restaurant or the bar that you're at. It's like, what?
That's all you do.
Oh, that's all the fun stuff that I do.
Why would I take pictures of me commuting to work?
Yeah.
Or me in class. You don't want to see that.
Yeah. So your friend may use social networking to help them vent their frustrations. And as a result, you may believe that things are going really rotten for them. It's true. Some people are like, oh, boy, that's...
Their valve.
Yeah.
Like, that's what some people do. Instead of, like, keeping it inside. I don't think it's unhealthy, but it does. It paints a picture of the person who's always upset.
Yeah. It does. But you have to realize that everything that people post, there's a whole world.
Yeah, there's other stuff going on.
Yeah, yes.
But some people, when they're, like, you know, you can get into a funk and then just be posting, like, like, I rant about things sometimes, too, like, especially on Twitter. I'm like, I can't believe this. But it's like, when I'm happy, I don't have time to be doing that shit. I'm busy. You know what I mean? You're busy.
Yeah. Yeah. So you get a false sense, but you just have to always remember it's not the whole story.
And it's interesting, too, because Facebook and all the Twitter, all the social media things, they try to find out what's going on in the world or what's going on with people based on what they post. And I'm like, you're not getting a full picture either.
Yeah.
It's not all about feet.
Yeah.
It's just, that's what people like to, you know, people are excited. It's something that's easy and fun to post.
Yeah, and some things you want to be social and you want to reach out. And so you post something that's neutral to fun so people feel safe.
I like that, neutral to fun.
Yeah. It's just so people feel safe in liking it or saying something. Like, so they can engage. It's like very, very limited small talk.
Yeah.
When you post a picture.
Elevator stuff.
Yeah. Post a picture of your food. Oh, good. You're eating some food.
You've eaten.
Yeah, yeah. But someone's like, nice meal. Oh, yeah. Look at that. Oh.
Where'd you go? What kind of food is that?
And that's a way to be social without putting yourself out there, without taking a big risk. But you can kind of pop up there.
I found that what I was doing on Facebook a lot was giving people assignments. Does anyone have a recipe for this that's authentic? Yeah. No, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for something a little more authentic. Could you go back and look? Could you ask your grandmother?
I get good book suggestions.
Yeah, stuff like that too. Like, can anyone recommend, you know, a good mystery for the beach? That kind of thing.
Let's see. The number five here is lack of in-depth conversation. One of the great things about friendships is seeing the world from a friend's point of view. But as we know... Yes. The depth that you can get from Facebook. But the thing is, you know, some people, they want to post things and have big discussions on there.
There are groups for that, though.
Yeah.
Like, I've had some really good discussions about, like, performance when I was in some, like, comics groups on Facebook. But that's why we set that up.
Yeah.
Like, and we all know that we are there to talk about that thing that we want to have deep discussion.
Yeah.
It's and that's clear. It. Yeah.
Or if you want to talk about anything that's going on in the world, say you want to talk about gun control or something like that. And some people are having the discussion, but you don't chime in because you don't have time. Mm-hmm. You're in the middle of, it's in the middle of the workday. I'm not going to.
You just put up bad. Guns bad.
Yeah.
Or guns good. That's it. Like.
So either you look, or just like it and be done with it, but you can't join the discussion. Or if you join it, but then you get called into a meeting, it looks like you blew out of the conversation.
Yeah, she loves guns. What a bitch. Block her. You're like, no, I just had to go do some work. I couldn't finish.
Yeah, there's a lot of things you want to say, but you can't say them because you just don't have time. To be like,
well, sometimes too, it takes more, like, there's so much to say that it doesn't, because it's not exactly real time. Mm-hmm. So it gets kind of, and then you're typing a lot and then you're like, why am I even here?
And then somebody uses the wrong there. Yeah. And then everyone's like, you are dumb because you just misused the.
That's a conditional sentence and there's no comma after the first clause. You're a moron.
That is.
You red state bastard.
Right. Yeah. People get attacked for like a misspelling or the wrong.
On Twitter too. I'm like, are you kidding me? It's so hard nowadays, especially if you're doing things on mobile devices, because it fills in for you.
Yeah.
One of my biggest complaints with Twitter is, and also the, what is it called? The autocorrect on our the iPhones. Motherfucker is a word. And it should be on there.
Yeah.
It keeps putting something like something ducking. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I'm not using that a lot. I've been using motherfucker for like 10 years on this phone. Learn it.
Yeah.
I'm not ducking anything. I don't use duck. When I talk about duck, you know, it just bothers me. Yeah. But sometimes I send you texts and I'm like, oh, Lord. What is that? It makes sense.
Yeah. There was a text you sent me. I was like, I have no idea what that means. I'll talk to her later.
Yes. Exactly.
But the thing is, I am not discrediting you because of this. But people,
this friendship is through.
But people, but if somebody's trying to express their point of view and something goes wrong, then they're automatically like stabbed with a pitchfork. Because
by the grammarians who were hanging out on
there. Yeah. Like,
not only do I hate guns, I hate bad grammar.
And when did everyone become, like, you know, an English major?
I don't know.
And suddenly they're like, well,
you know,
arms folded.
I used to teach grammar. That was my area of expertise, and I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I don't have time. On social media? Sure, you want to try to express yourself, you know, clearly. But I also like it sometimes, too, when people intentionally use bad grammar to keep things short. Like, that kind of, like, fun communication.
Yeah.
Like, I'll text back, true dat. T-R-U-D-A-T. Fine. You know exactly what I'm talking about. I have to be like, you know, actually what you were saying earlier, 100% correct. I don't have time to say that.
Yeah.
I don't have time to say. I agreed with all the points. True that.
Yeah.
You know what it means? I know what it means. Yeah. I'm underground on the subway. Might not even go through.
Yeah, and not a lot of people are gifted writers.
That's true.
And you have to allow that and say that they're not stupid because of that.
It might be just the assholes we roll with. That are like busting. Because I bet you there are some groups in which they're like, grammar, who cares? You're just putting it out there.
I don't know. Let's see. They say you should balance social networking with other forms of communication.
Eventually, I think social networking stuff is kind of go like, kind of filter by the wayside. Yeah. I feel like it's not going to be the way that we work together forever. Also, with Facebook and Twitter, like with most companies, if you don't know what the product is and you're not paying for it, it's you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's only going to be a matter of time before people are tired of giving their information
away. It's always right. And when it becomes the least desirable, like the least fun thing to do. Remember when people got phones? Everyone's talking on their phone, mm-hmm. walking down the street talking.
Even though they were massive.
Yeah.
You could two-hand them.
And you're sitting on a train. You're sitting there anywhere people are talking. And it was just so much conversation going mm-hmm. on. And it was so disruptive all the time.
But it seemed awesome. Remember when I first got a phone? I called my friends.
Yeah.
And I did.
And you're talking. And you're mm-hmm. talking. And people, this was like on New Jersey Transit. People would be talking on the phone instead of reading or doing something else.
Now people are pissed when they get a phone call.
Yeah.
They don't want it. Why didn't you text? Some people I call and like their message is like, please, you know, if you can express what you have to say in a text, please do so.
Yeah.
People are done with that. I don't like to talk. We don't talk on the phone.
No, we don't.
I don't like to talk to anybody on the phone, really.
Yeah.
I talk to a keynote.
So nobody talks to each other.
Yeah, so we text.
Right. So you text and that's it. And that's, it's quiet again.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever.
Yes, it's quiet again.
So whenever, when something is going to trump whatever on Twitter or Facebook or whatever to make everything easier, it'll go away.
I find Facebook to be really cluttered. It's hard. And, you know, I made the mistake of friending too many people, and that's why I had to go. Because I wasn't discriminating.
Yeah.
You know, I was just like, hey, whatever, you want to be my friend? Sure, yay.
Yeah.
I'm like, who are these assholes?
Well, I think people are just trying to, you know, be in the mix. Yeah. And they don't know what to say.
Yes.
They don't
lurking.
Know.
They're out there.
No, there's the Facebook lurkers.
Who just watch everything. I always find that strange. Is there any way on Facebook now to know if someone's looking at your stuff? If someone's actively viewing your stuff?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think they're just, I know a lot of people who just are like, I just read what's happening.
Really?
I don't like
That's
to post
weird.
Anything.
They just read?
They just read it
Isn't
all.
That boring? They don't feel the urge just to have a... These are the assholes who are in the class not raising their hand, isn't it? When we're in elementary school.
Yeah.
When they're like, everyone has to have an opinion. They're like, not me.
Yeah. No, but they want to be filled in on everything, but they don't want to put themselves out.
They don't want to put anything out there. They
and
want
that's
to contribute.
Also another opinion that you develop of people if they're not chiming in on anything.
True, yeah. Or, you know, some people, though, if you go on and just check it, like, once a day, mm-hmm. then you don't have time to respond to, like, mm-hmm. all the things that are kind of going on. Can a robot find you love?
Oh, okay.
So this is, there's a program at NYU Tisch School of Arts that it's called Software That Touches People. So
Ew.
They're like trying to combine Ew. Technology and then physical incarnations of things. I know it's creepy, right?
Okay.
So these are the projects they came up with. And this is why I think this kind of stuff is awesome but creepy. And it tells you what kind of people are into it. So one kid came up with, obviously very talented, knows a lot about robotics and blah, blah, blah. He has created you can experience the thrill and freedom of flying by being seated on the back of a large dragon. Users sit and control a large fabricated dragon in a virtual world, much like an arcade game, but it has a four axes of motion, and the rider is wearing a virtual reality mask strapped to his or her head.
What are you sitting on?
You're sitting on this fake dragon.
No.
It's like a fake dragon that you sit on, and you wear the mask.
Does it vibrate?
You know it does. I don't think they need to say that here. So the guy who created the student
oh,
says...
Oh, this dragon adventure.
People is like, that's not a joystick. People have always dreamed about flying and or controlling large beasts. And this experience...
I'm sorry. Controlling large beasts is a dream that people have?
This experience...
I'm a beast master.
This experience will let them exchange or experience both. So it's like, you know, who put chocolate in my peanut butter? You know, like I've always wanted to control a large beast.
Oh,
I've always wanted to fly. Et voila. Here we go.
I can't get past that.
This is what they're doing.
I can't get on the flying part, but the...
People... But this is what the kids
beast
said.
Beast tamer.
People have always dreamed about flying and or controlling large beasts. Further down the corridor, so this is in the school, another student has developed what she calls a true love robot.
Okay.
It's her first project for Intro to Computational Media, Intro to Physical Computing. It's the robot is built with a text-to-speech module. It has LEDs. It has a hand that has a skin that can respond to your own. So you put your hands on something, and mm-hmm. then that hand mimics you know, what you're doing with the robot hand mimics. And it's called a true love tender robot. Will find you love guaranteed, says the inventor.
All right.
Here's how it works. First, you have to sign up for Tinder, the dating/hookup site. You place your hand on the sensor. As you are looking at each Tinder profile, if the robot determines that you're attracted to the person, it will then swipe right for you. If not, it will swipe less. And throughout the process, it will make commentary on your involuntary decisions. I could be doing this job.
Wait a minute. Can't you make your own decision on what you like?
It probably has something to do with heat sensor or, you know. So it senses, I guess, if your hands get hot or you get excited when you see the image of the person.
But you know that.
I know that. And you know that. And so does the person with their hands in the thing. But
it's much more fun to have a machine swipe for you.
It says here.
It was right.
We trust algorithms on dating sites to find us potential partners, and we use consumer biometric devices to tell us what's going on with our body. So maybe it's not a stretch to consider what happens when we combine these things.
Okay.
The True Love Tinder robot makes users confront what it feels like to let computers make intimate decisions for them.
Oh, this is...
It's kind of interesting.
Well...
So this is... Because they're art students who are also doing technological stuff. So I'm imagining that they have, like, a larger... you know what I mean? Like, they're thinking in a different kind of a framework. So the idea is interesting. And she says here that Tinderbot is the PG version of some very, quote-unquote, personal robotic devices.
All right.
But woo! But doesn't go on to say.
Well, I think we can infer from that. But the thing is, you know what? This is going to be a good machine. So when someone says they don't like you, put your hand here.
Yeah, and you can tell.
And look at my face and tell me that. And then it'll be like, swipe.
It's kind of interesting.
Swipe to the whatever side.
Some other students made, and I think this is pretty cool, especially for, like, as a toy or to teach kids about robotics. They designed a low-cost robotic hand with materials and parts that you can make.
All teenage boys everywhere. Yay! It will never get tired.
Yes. All you need is cardboard, scissors, and some basic parts on Amazon, and you can make a robotic hand. I might try to hook one of these up. I have a friend, a scientist.
Yeah.
I could see if he could help me with it.
Yeah. Listener, scientist is a guest who has been on our show. He is a real scientist.
He's a real honest-to-goodness scientist.
Yes.
And he said he's doing some robotic stuff as well. He said he made some little, like, robots. Okay. So maybe I could try to check that. But a robotic hand.
Nice.
I'm just going to program mine to, like, give people their finger.
Yeah.
And then give people the motion for talk to the hand.
Yeah.
And then give people the motion for hit the door. That's all I need. I'm just gonna put that on my desk. I'm not gonna say anything. When people come, I'm just gonna look at the thing. It's gonna make the motion. It'll be good.
Okay.
So yeah, that's what these roboticists are coming out with. I think it's kind of cool.
It's very
interesting. All right, what do you have? We have like a few more minutes.
We'll do this. We'll do a short advice on advice.
Okay. So advice on advice. Bonus. You know what it is because we already did it. This is the bonus advice on advice. Don't thank us.
Yes. Okay. I have a friend who randomly showers at my place when she comes over.
Okay.
I don't mean she stays the night, but like when she's here for a couple of hours for lunch. Apparently, she does this at other people's homes too sometimes. There's nothing wrong with her shower, and she's not someone...
How do you know that?
And she's not someone who's obsessed over cleanliness. She just likes to have a random midday wash every now and then. I know she's not doing anything wrong,
don't know that. Have you thought, like, that's weird.
Yeah. I have no reason to refuse her request other than I think it's weird. What reason should I give her to politely say no?
Oh, this is a tough one.
Yeah, right?
So
she doesn't have a cleanliness issue. She just likes to freshen up during the day.
What is she doing before she has to freshen up?
That's that she can't go home to do it.
This sounds like somebody's having like
an affair
but not in a hotel.
Yeah.
Like in a car or in a stairwell.
Right.
Like or something like that.
Or like a public bathroom.
Yeah. And then she needs to get, you know, rinse it off.
Yeah. So that's what it really sounds like.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, is she keeping like her soap on a rope there? Like what's going on? She's coming in and using your products?
Yeah.
She could just be a cheap person. You've got nice stuff. You've got like a Hava in there.
Yeah.
SK-1, you know? Loofahs. Things she's never even heard of.
Oh, man. She's so... Well, someone used my loofah.
I'd be upset. I have guest loofahs.
Do you?
To take with you when you're done.
Yeah.
Oh, you know how I am.
So the answer is... Okay. I would say that someone who randomly gets up from a social event and says, I'm just going to be popping in your shower for a quick freshen up, likely does have some obsessional issues.
Mm-hmm. I think she's having sex.
Yeah. You can have compassion for her while insisting that when she visits, she sticks to chatting over sandwiches.
Or you could just get over it and be like, she's going to shower whenever she comes over and just have some towels.
Just say, Sue, I love catching up with you, but if you feel the need to break off our socialize and go shower, I prefer you just go back to your place and do it there.
Is the conversation making her feel dirty? What's going on?
Like, I don't know. If you came over to my place and showered without, like, on the regular.
That would be weird.
I'd be like, what are you doing? Why are you showering? I didn't just ask
you. But if you came over and you were like, you've been running around, we were going to be like doing something, and you're like, do you mind if I just quick freshen up? Yeah. I need to take a shower for what? It was hot out.
It was hot and sweaty.
Whatever.
Then I would say
sense.
Something.
Like, there would be a context for it. But you're not just coming over and be like, man, your shower is the bazaar. Like, I'm going right in there.
It's better than
what I got going on at home. Yeah.
But she does it for other people, too. So it really is, she's got an obsession. I would ask, because it's not.
Yeah, because if it's like a OCD thing, then you kind of have to let it go if it's not bothering you. Like, if it's something that she feels that she has to do, and it's like a compulsion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, some people lock the door 3 times, or they can't sit with their back to the door. You know, it's like, if it's something that is like a real thing for her, and it's not bothering you, I'd say let it go.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with anyone using your shower, first off.
But just find out the context of it.
Yeah, that's it. And just be like, oh, because it's also part of being a friend, is like you talk about these things.
Yeah. Or is there something going on?
Is there something you got? Are you, having a thing?
Yeah.
With so-and-so?
In the stairwell? In your car?
In the bathroom?
Yeah.
Public bathroom?
In the public bathroom. Interesting.
Yeah.
So what did she say?
That's what she said. She said, if I love catching up with you, you feel
short and sweet.
But do it at your own place. No, I wouldn't say that to anybody. Don't shower.
I think the friendship is probably worth more than that.
Like, yeah.
There are a lot of annoying things that people do. This is fine.
It's totally
fine. It's not like she's borrowing your shit without asking, which is something that some friends do to friends, and that, can rub you the wrong way.
Right, right.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'd just be like, What kind of bar soap would you like?
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Would you like your own set of towels?
Yeah, I'll get you a fresh towel. Don't use the one that
I just
used.
Use what's in there.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, cool. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com. with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks. I have someone staying with me now, and I have a bar of soap for them. And he's coming from abroad. He's like, is this what Americans do? They give you soap? He felt it to be rude.
I didn't think about it that way.
Because it's like, I don't know. Like, I don't mind people using the products that I have. It doesn't matter to me. But I don't know what other people are like. I don't know if people want a fresh bar of soap.
Yeah, that's what I put out fresh things too.
Apparently, this is highly offensive to some people. It's like saying,
don't use my soap, use this one.
Not only don't use my soap, but you might need some extra soap to wash your ass. If you're going to be staying in my house before you put it on a towel. No, I thought it was being nice.
I thought it was being nice, too. It's like mimicking what a hotel. Like, you don't have
this or
something.
That's what I was thinking.
Or, like, not saying you have to use my soap that I used on my ass.
Yeah. I was trying to protect you from a pubic hair that you might find offensive. Do you know what I mean?